Echadishmas isha shein the bar of Nash Hakayin. They have a yard side. They are learning to be a schus for the Shabbat, sponsored by his children. Please mute yourself, Rabbi and Mrs. Menashe White. Yes. Are you on, Rukhmiel?
Not today.
Not today. Okay.
There seems to be a difference at the beginning between the field of the Shema and say Shema Asra, where you're advised to say it in Lashon Kodesh as written, as opposed to Shema, where you can say Goaz.
No, the difference is very clear. You're right and you're wrong at the same time. Me neither.
You can say I'm wrong.
It's okay. I don't mind saying you're right. Or when you're right, I don't mind saying you're right. There's a difference between the Nusach of Chazal and the Nusach of anybody else. When Chazal made the 18 brachas, they included in every word the depths of Kavanah that are beyond our comprehension. The Chaim Volozhiner writes that in the history of Tfilah, since Chazal made the Nusach of Tfilah, no two Tfilahs are ever the same. No two Tfilahs. No two Tfilahs are ever the same. Meaning, forget about the same person. No two tefillahs, since they were misakin, the tefillahs, no two tefillahs were ever the same. The words encompass everything. So when a person switches to a different language, he loses those things that Chazal inserted in their tefillah. Once you leave Chazal and you move to the Achronim, and the Shlach Kaddish is way beyond my comprehension, not necessarily is there more to the words than the words. So therefore, if you daven Shemai Nesrei, daven in Lashon Kodesh. If you add your own bekashas, don't say it in a language you don't understand, because it's meaningless. You have to say it in a language you understand. So the same thing he's saying with the Shlach. Here we want a guy to do tshuva. We want a guy to be Messiah. So he's going to say the words of the Shlach. He has no idea what he's talking about. I'm not saying it's worth nothing. It would be worth nothing if it's Yitzchak Margaret's Nusach. If it's worth the Shlach's Nusach, it's probably worth something. But it's not Chazal. That's the difference.
Incidentally,
the Nefesh
HaChaim is quoting
the Ari. Could be. Okay, I just heard it. Shemar Pai Blushar. Yes.
Let me just say that the Chazal, even if you don't understand.
Even if you don't understand. Except the first bracha.
I'm about to say, not understanding by Chazal is as good.
No, I didn't say that. I said, not understanding Chazal's words, it still accomplishes a ton of things. Because the words of Chazal are powerful in themselves. Now, of course, if you have Kavana, it's worth 1,000 times more. But it's not Chazal's words remain Chazal's words. It's not the time for it. If you remind me tomorrow during our Nefesh, our Peliyayat thing, I'll speak on a Meshach Chachma that says this, but I really don't want to spend too much time on this. I think it's time to move on.
It's a false dichotomy.
Very much. I thought I turned it on. I must have turned it off. Okay, we are up to Amar Rav Nuna. Now, how do we find Amar Rav Nuna? We're on Tassim and Aleph. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 lines from the end of the narrow lines. Tassim and Aleph, 9a. Amar Rav Nuna. Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Nifra Min Adam Achit Tisma Lissa Asai. The Rabbeinu Shalom does not punish a person until he fills up his bucket, meaning he deserves to be punished. Now, the Mepharshim speak out, this is not talking about a person that's a tzaddik. This is talking about a person, unfortunately, that's not a tzaddik. And therefore, the shaila is to punish him or to wait. HaKadosh Baruch Hu waits, hoping he'll do tshuva, number one, or not to punish him now because he's going to need to get Elam Haba for his, he's going to have to get tzchar for his mitzvahs. So the Mepharshim delays the punishment. Not necessarily a mila, is a mila in the sense he can do tshuva and avoid a lot of the punishments. However, for somebody who's a tzaddik, the Rebbeinu Shlomo will send them, Rachmana Litzlan, we don't like punishments, small punishments constantly to keep him clean. It's a different madrega. That's what the Mepharshim speak out. Shenamar b'mloi sifkai, I think the word is sifkai, I don't have the psukim on the side, yetzerloi. When his measurement fills up, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be strict with him. Yetzirloi will oppress him. Rashi, so Rashi b'mloi sivkai, kol ritzoinai, when he fills up his wishes, meaning his wishes, not the Rabbeinu Shlom's, Yetzirloi t'veinu tzara, the tzara will come. Dr. Gemara b'ayit t'dor, shabchinu
b'papam? Yes. The way that you
explain
it is problematic according to the Nefesh HaChaim, because there is no such thing as a punishment. there's consequences, and intrinsic to the commitment of an avera is the consequence. And if something is intrinsically related to the avera, it cannot be avoided. The person can be forgiven, but the results are still the same.
I'm definitely not going to get into an argument now because it's going to take me 10 minutes and I don't have the 10 minutes for this. I will say the following. When a person does tshuva, it lessens the punishment because the tshuva process is part of the cleansing process. A avera is a stain on the neshama. And just like when a person has a stain on the beged, the different way he treats it will remove the stain. And yes, there are averas that need to be removed through a harsher way. But if he treats it with different things, he can remove the need to use a very strong detergent. He can do things that lessen and lessen and lessen and make the strong detergent unnecessary. Masha Enkein, if he doesn't do those things, and then it has the consequences of the Avera, will be much more strict. And some people don't even get it in this world, get it in next world, where it's much more strict. That's what I meant to say.
Rabbi Newberg, is Rabbi Naaman's explanation is also extremely, it seems to me, extremely off the point. But I could be wrong.
Okay. Darshim Zaita. Dr. Martha Arshim Khanir by Papa Maidaksim. Radaru Tzadikim Bashem, my Sharim Babasila. The Tzadikim should rejoice, Bashem, my Sharim, to the righteous ones. I hate to use Yeshua, doesn't mean the righteous. Tzadikim means righteous. Sharim means the straight ones. Nava Sehila, and it's proper the praise. Al Tikri Nava Sehila, Al Neve Sehila. Their buildings that they built, Neve means an abode, their abode is deserving of, is a praise. What does that mean? Dr. Gemara said, Moshe and David, Shalashaltu Sineim B'Maseim. The Moshe and David, when they built something, the enemies could not touch what they built. It was removed from the ability to be destroyed by humans. The Siv, Tavu Barit Shareha. Moshe the Amr Mar, Mishinichnas, that he says by David, David the Siv, Moshe Tavu Barit Shareha, the gates of Yerushalayim. Sank into the ground. It's a machlokes when it's going in the city of Yerushalayim, or the Harabayas, or the Hazara, but some gates that David HaMelech is responsible for sank into the ground. Now Rashi learns it's going on the city gates of Yerushalayim because that's what David built, whereas the gates of the Beit HaMikdash were built by Shlomo. Others want to learn, I think, the Mashal that's going on the gates of the Beit HaMikdash, but since David prepared everything, for some reason the gates are attributed more to him. So therefore, the gates were not destructible. They sank into the ground, untouched by Goyim. That's what the Gemara is saying. Moshe Amar Mar, Moshe Nivna Mikdash Rishon, Nignas Ayo Mayed, Krashav, Krasav, Ubrichav, Amudav, Adonav. When the Beit HaMikdash was built, interesting that the Gemara skips Mishkan Shilai, because for 369 years, they had Mishkan Shilai, which was a brick building. But for some reason, the Ayo Mayed was not hidden yet. The old Ayo Mayed from the time of the Mishkan, the Midbar, lasted all those years. I don't know where it was, but it wasn't Nignas yet. After the Beit HaMikdash was built, at that point, they hid the Ayomayid, the boards, the crossover, the hooks, the brichover, the poles, Amudav, or the brichover, the, I don't know, translated in English, Amudav are the pillars, Adonav are the sockets.
What happened?
Where were they hidden? Under the tunnels of the Beit HaMikdash, somewhere in Harabayas. Under Harabayas is hidden the Mishkan and all its kelim. No guy could ever get to it. Now, it is a Sipurnu at the beginning of Parshas Pekudei. The Sipurnu says, "Eile Pekudei HaMishkan Mishkan Eidus HaShepukud HaBivayt HaVayetis HaVayim V'yadi Samar Ben Haran HaKayim." The Sipurnu is slightly, I would say, different from this Gemara. The Gemara attributes it to Moshe. But the Sipurnu says that it was a combination of four factors that made the Mishkan indestructible. And they were HaShepukad Rabbi Moshe, HaShepukad Rabbi Moshe, what's the part again? HaShepukad Rabbi Moshe, Mishkan Eidus, Mishkan Eidus, it had the Luchas, Avaydus HaVim, the Levium were the ones that put it up and down. Biyadi Summer Ben Aaron HaKayin. It had all those four factors. Therefore, it became an indestructible building. the Beis HaMikdash Rishon did not have Avodas Halevim. It was built by Hiram Melech Tzar, sent the things to build it, and it was built by other people. Therefore, it lacked that aspect. Therefore, it was destructible. This is the support rule, not me. And the Beis HaMikdash HaSheni lacked Mishkan Eidus, lacked Avodas Halevim, and therefore, it didn't even have the level of Kedusha that the first level had. So the Zepurnu says that having those four factors made them... The Gemara here attributes it to Baisha, doesn't mention the other three factors. Zepurnu and Parshas Pekudei talks about all the factors involved and says that's why it was indestructible. Rashi. Zach to Rashi, Olivesi, Ilal Iskin, Nevei Batim, Shabanu, Yalalu. They will praise Hashem, they will praise these people for the houses that they built. So Shaltus and Abba Maizidem, Lias Nenemem, interesting Rashi, that they didn't have any pleasure from the Beis HaMikdash, or from the Mishka. David of Siv Tavu Bar Sherel, Lel Minei Siv, Chashav Hashem L'Hashchus Chaymas Batziyay. Pasuk before, talks about Hashem wanted to destroy the wall of Tziyay. Malok Siv, and in the next Pasuk it says, Ches Tetes, right, Echaz and Alabez, Tavu Baaretz, what is Chaymas Batziyon? He eared David of Esai. That's the city around David's city and his house. The doors. The Bach adds, I believe, Kesem is off. Either they were copper or silver and gold. The enemy shouldn't get them. The Eitzim, the wood there doesn't seem to have sank, just the gold and the silver and the copper. The Glam didn't bother taking them, so therefore they never had pleasure from it. Yes, Doctor?
I just wanted, on that Sforno, people have observed that of all of the three Mishkan, Mikdash 1, Mikdash 2, the least impressive, the least physically impressive was Mishkan.
Correct. That is a question, yes.
So, the menorah is gone.
No, it's not. They used it. All the kelim, you notice, doesn't say a word about the kelim in the Beis HaMikdash. Because the shulchan and the menorah could have been, was used even in the Bais Rishon. Or maybe even in the Bais Sheni. It's not gone. Now it's gone. So everything's gone. But it wasn't, it was taken by the Goyim.
Yeah,
these things were not touched by the Goyim.
It wasn't Nignas either, the menorah.
No, it wasn't. Notice, it didn't say that. It said the structure. The Urias, Ayomai means the Urias. That's what Rashi says.
These were portable things also. In other words, why not?
This, again, Moshe Schuss kept these things from being taken away by the Goyim.
Exactly, these things and nothing else.
Doesn't say anything else. The Kalim were used in the Bais Rishon. They used Moshe's Menorah in the Bais Rishon. They used Moshe's Shulchan in the Bais Rishon. So it wasn't put away when the Bais Rishon was built. Now, ultimately, the Goyim did take them. We don't know where they are. Some say they're in the Vatican. Some say they're not in the Vatican. It's the best place, by the way, that we don't know where they are. Imagine if they knew where they are, what they would do with it. It's not Kedai. So leave it alone. When Mashiach comes, we'll get it.
Most of the
Mikdash,
those were
Nigdash. Right. All these, that's the basic structure. The outside structure. That's what it says. Yes, Rebbe Brom.
Hakayin
Gadol.
Well, yes. But, and what if it is again? What things sank?
According to Rashi, the gates of the city of Yerushalayim.
The gates of the city.
The doors of the gates, right, the gates, not the wall. The gates of the city of Yerushalayim.
Nothing to do with the Mikdash itself? Or the
according to Rashi, you need Rashi, he said, no, he doesn't mention the word Mikdash. He says, Mitzudais Tziyayim, the city of Tziyayim. The Mashah says it means the base of Mikdash, but that's, I think, Haravais, but I'm not sure. Mitzudas means the structure, the fortification.
Not
again, but the pasuk says Sha'areha, its gates. The gates of Mitzudas Tziyayim.
That means, again, this, that means
the pasuk before says, Choshev Hashem lahashchis choymas batzion. Hashem wanted to destroy that. And the next verse says, but not Sharel. Tavu Baharit Sharel.
I mean, well,
its gates of the pasuk before. This is how Rashi, I'm learning Rashi. So Rashi is saying it has nothing to do with the Beis HaMikdash.
Okay, I understand, but
so if you understand, that's wonderful.
Before that, for the Beis HaMikdash could be destroyed. Right?
It was.
I understand. So, wow, the gates can't be touched.
Right, because David HaMelech actually built them, correct.
The point of it is that...
No, the point of it is that David HaMelech is Kedusha, that when he built something, it was indestructible.
But that's very nice. But
so it is, beautiful. That's why it says Nava Tehillah. It's great to praise.
The point
very
I'm
nice.
Trying to stress here, so it's very nice that the gates were not touched. It didn't help us.
Yeah, it obviously did help us. We don't know how, but it helped us. Number one, and maybe it didn't help us. Who cares? The pasuk is trying to stress that when David HaMelech built something, it was indestructible. When Moshe Rabbeinu built something, it was indestructible. That's what it's trying to say. Even though Moshe didn't physically build it. Yes, it was nice. Nice. The Mishkan was old wood. Hundreds of years old. And the Gemara says, Adayin, it's Oimdem, Sechuyam. So before we speak out, we still get a schus of it. The schus is still Kayam.
So this passage about that Moshe and this region, that's referring to the gates.
No! That's Moshe. You're missing David and Moshe.
Okay, Moshe
built the Mishkan, and the Mishkan was hidden when the Beit HaMikdash was built. No gates, no nothing. The structure of the Mishkan.
Meaning it was buried physically, or
it says buried, Nignaz.
I know what I meant was it just sank, or was
it was buried. Nignaz doesn't mean sank. Nignaz means was hidden.
Rabbi, can I ask a quick question? When we have this Ela or Al Tikre X Ela Y, what is this supposed to be telling us? Is this an alternative understanding? Is it a secondary understanding? Is it just a kind of a play on words where we say that all things are contained within the meaning of the Shorish? What is the power of the Ela?
In this case, I usually would say I don't know, but in this case, I did see a shot. Now, what bothered Chazal was, it should say, Ranu Tzadikim L'Hashem. The Tzadikim should praise to Hashem. Why does it say, Ranu Tzadikim B'Hashem? So they want a darshan that the Tzadikim are being praised for something they did for Hashem. What did they do? La Yisharim Nava Tehila. But the Yisharim built an abode that is a source of praise. So it's not the Pashim Shat in the Pasuk, it's the Drasha, and I don't remember which Mephire said it, because of the change of the base to the Lamed. I'm sorry, from the Lamed to the base. Again. Otherwise, I would tell you I don't know what gave Chazal the right to do it. I don't know these things, but in this case, I happen to see that shot.
That so if they
we're not taking away Pashim Shat. We have a rule that we always darshan Pshuta Shomikra, except the Gemara Yavama says one Pasuk, we don't. But every other case, we always use Pshuta Shomikra. We don't change Pashim Shat. But there's a hint, Chazal, that the Pasuk is trying to teach me another lesson as well.
What's the one Pasuk?
You want to know?
Okay.
The Gemara Yavama says, it's V'haya B'chor, Asher Tehle Yochum Al-Shem Ochav Ameis, by Yibum. If you read the pasuk, it seems to say that the first kid should be named for the brother that died. It had nothing to do with that. Chazal say the only pasuk that Yitzim is named Pshutai.
How about eye for an eye, too?
That's not Pshutai, because eye for eye, eye means the value of an eye for an eye. That's not Yitzim is Takal Pshutai. That's translating what eye and Takal sign, that means Pshutai. It means the value of an eye for an eye. There we're taking out the pasuk, has nothing to do with the kid that's born, nothing to do with naming him, nothing. That's the Gemara Yavamas. That one of them Amaroim said, B'chatei rekulei b'kriyaitis neb shutai, elo this pasuk. Yes?
every Mefurish, even the most recondite, say, Shushel Nekras is primary.
The Gemara says it.
Yeah, no,
I don't need any more than the Gemara.
You're correct. Would it be incorrect for me to say that, as far as all the Altikris, because this is the way I've understood it up until now, that all the Altikris means that as a superposition of both meanings, and it can devolve.
I said that, but the Mefarshim looked for a reason that Chazal saw a second thing in there. They wouldn't say a second thing unless this is what the Mefarshim. I'm not going to say this.
I would say
that
it's intrinsic to the Pasuk itself. It's not, this is all.
Okay, again, maybe, again, I said to Harvey that I would have answered them, I don't know, and I only answered that strap because I saw it. So therefore I quoted it.
Now, 23 years ago, you said you didn't make a brush, so.
I still don't. Tana Rabbana. Saita Nasne Nab and Mishena Royala. A Saita looked to people that are not appropriate for her. She had no business having a relationship with a strange man. So Mashabikshala Nitla, she doesn't get to marry that guy ever because she becomes usher to him forever unless she drinks and is exonerated. But at the same time, if she never drinks, she's a saita, suffix saita, and she can never marry that person. So what she wanted, she doesn't get. And what she has, she loses. She loses her husband. Either she dies, or she can't stay married to her husband, if she admits. So here's a woman that wanted something else. Not only does she not get something else, but what she had, she loses. And Chazal tell us a rule. Anybody that desires something that doesn't belong to him, you don't get it. It's not yours. The Rebbeinu doesn't have it for you. And how is that? You lose what you have. If you're not satisfied, you want more than the Rebbeinu gave you, or different than the Rebbeinu gave you. The punishment for that is, well, obviously what you want is forbidden. We're not talking about a guy that wants to eat an ice cream. We're talking about a guy that wants to do something that is prohibited because he wants something else. Well, not only does he not get the something else, but he loses what he has. Rashi. Mashabikshala nitla shasur labayo. She's also to the alleged adulterer. Mashabiyada nitla imshay samai mesa. And by dosam she admits, nashra labayla vasidik subasa. Dr. Gemar Vaita. Okay. And so it's true.
She admits what?
That she was Mazana.
And what happens?
She becomes asset to her husband, and to that bio permanently. So she lost her husband and her exuba.
And if there's no Adim?
She still was asset. There's Adim as zero.
What I'm saying is that if it wouldn't be Adim by Stira and by Kino,
then she doesn't lose her husband. You're right.
Right, and she still did bad.
Again, we're not saying that every one person that does bad gets this. What it's saying is, look at the consequence of somebody that wanted something that's prohibited and what happened. I don't think it's saying that every case this happens. There are people that steal and never get caught.
Right.
Okay. It's a rule in saying that if you do something, the punishment is that you lose. Now, why the Rebbeinu doesn't do it every time, I don't know. Like, I really like to move because I'm not going to get stuck on this one.
Does do it every,
we don't see it. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
okay.
Someone falls off a ladder. I mean,
right.
You can see it
drowning. The Chema Tzinu. I'd like to move. I really want to move. B'chematzino, b'nachash hakadmaidi, the original nachash. Shenasan ena b'mesh ena roilo, he wanted to marry Chava. Mashabikish le'nasnaloi, he didn't get Chava. Mashabiyad in the flustery metal, and he lost a lot of things. He used to stand. The nachash used to be a standing animal. And he lost it all. Why? Because he wanted something that didn't belong to him, so he loses something he has. I'm not Kadosh Baruch Hu. The nachash was destined to be the king of all animals. He's cursed. I said he will walk on a standing straight. He will crawl on his stomach. He will eat like humans eat. He will eat dirt. Right? Famous cuts kavart. What's the klal of eating? What's chatting up? The biggest klal, Adarabba, his food is always available. That's the klala, that he doesn't turn to the rabbinic klala because his food is always available. Anihu amar aragis adam v'eses chava. He said, I will get Adam killed, and I will marry Chava. Achshav eva ashes, I will put a hatred beincha, between the nachash, between the isha, between zarecha, between zara, between humans and snakes. V'chei matinu. Okay, we're going to list a whole bunch of people that wanted things that didn't belong to them and lost what they had. Cain, he wanted the extra twin. Hevel got two twins, Cain had one twin. Hevel had two wives, Cain had one wife. Cain felt it was unfair that he only had one wife. He wanted to get rid of Hevel so he should be able to get extra wives. What happened? He lost, he didn't get Hevel's wife, and he lost out that he was a marked man until he died. Kairach, he wanted to be Kayan and Gedalim. What happened? He lost himself. He got swallowed up in the ground. Bilam, Rashi says he wanted to make money. That's why he came to Klal Yisrael. Well, not only didn't he make the money, because when he went to collect it, he got killed. Dayag, Vachi Taifu. Dayag was jealous of David HaMelech, right? And he wanted David HaMelech killed. What happened? He got killed. Achitayfel wanted to be king. He had a sign in Hashemayim that he was roy for royalty. He came from Malchut. He came from Yehuda, and he had a raya that he was roy for royalty. He helped Absalom rebel against David. Very interesting story. Very interesting story, and I guess I'll take a moment to talk about this story. And that is Absalom. Achitayfel was David's most trusted advisor, one of two of David's most trusted advisors. When Absalom launched the rebellion, Achitayfel joined Absalom. Why did Achitayfel join Absalom? Because Achitayfel joined Absalom because he wanted to be king himself. He felt that through getting Absalom to knock off David HaMelech, he will be able then to knock off Absalom. He even had a whole plan. Because he told Absalom, as we will learn in the next Mishnah, that to prove that you're king, live with your father's palakshim. David had many wives. Live with them. That will show the world that you're for real, that you're not going to make up with your father. You're for real. You're out to get rid of your father. By living with his wives, acting like king, and he paskin for Achitayfel, that as Achitayfel paskin for Absalom, that as a king, you're allowed to take your father's wives. That's mutter. So he told them. Wasn't, but he told them. Then he would come in Taina that Absalom can't be king. He was mezada with anxious Aviv. And he would become king. That was his plan, so the Mefarshim say. So therefore, he wanted to become king, and he died at a very young age. Gehazi. Gehazi wanted Naaman's money. For those familiar with that Haftarah, there was a general of Aram named Naaman who became a Mitzairah. And he came to Elisha, and Elisha told him to bathe in the Yarden 7 times or be cured. He got cured. He came to Elisha, and he offered him money, and Elisha said, no way. After he left, Gehazi went after him and told Naaman, Elisha told me to come get money. Right? And Naaman gave it to him. And then he came back. Elisha kicked him out and said, I saw Benavua. I saw what's happening. You took the money. You had no business taking the money. You will be a Mitzairah. And Gehazi and his 4 children and 3 children all turned into Mitzairahim. So he wanted money. Not only didn't he get the money, but he ended up losing that he became a Mitzairah, ostracized from community. Adonio wanted to become king. And instead of becoming king, he ended up getting killed. He wanted to marry the, what was her name? Avishak, the girl that had been by David HaMelech, and he wanted to marry her. She was not David HaMelech's wife, and that would have been a sign of royalty. That was his plan of rebellion, and he got killed. Uziyo wanted to be Kohen Gadol, and not only did he not become a Kohen Gadol, he became a Mitzairah, and he was spent the last 25 years of his life living in a palace in the cemetery, which they built for him as a Mitzairah. And for 25 years, he lived in his palace, in the middle of a cemetery, as a Mitzairah, because he wanted to be take Kahuna Gedailah. So now that he lost Malchus. He did not lose Malchus in name. He was still King Uziyo. and his son, an unreal Kibbutz, who ran the country, acted as he's not running the country, as his father's running the country, but for all practical purposes, he lived in a palace or a cemetery. And Haman, he's the last one. Haman wanted to get rid of Mordechai. Not only did he not get rid of Mordechai, but he got rid of himself. Thus, no name of Mashaydah shall roi lahem, Mashabikshu lehnitin lahem, Mashabiyadim lehkulam lahem. What they wanted, they didn't get, but they, and they ended up losing what they had, Rashi. We're going to do Rashi before we take questions. Nachash HaKadmaini Nasanayna B'Chava, wanted to marry Chava. Ubal leha, and I'm not going to get involved in what that means. Pashim Shah means he lived with her. Chazal say he put a Zuhama into her. What that means exactly, we're not going there. Behind the Chsiv, Nachash Hishiyani. She told him that Nachash, please learn Hishiyani means persuaded. But it's also a lesson of, he lived with me, Tashmish. Lashon Tashmish in the Suavu. He lived with me and wanted to marry me. Not Lahemenu, Kremis Kufa. They took the ability to stand. Yei Melech, Shilakach Asa Aramika, Hashem made him the most wise, the most cunning of all animals. Ani Amarti Adol B'Kremis Kufa, Mikalulah Siat Alamad. By listening to the Kalala, you learn what he wanted to be before, what he was going to be. Chin Kal Ela, all these things that he lost, right, Hashem said, these are all the opposite of what he wanted. Kayan, Nasan Eina B'Tuma Yisera. He wanted that extra twin, Shinoldim Hevel. She stayed too much, Shinoldim Hevel had two twins. Shnei Esim, Shnei Ribuyim, two twins. Kairach HaLakuna B'Nivla, Bilam B'Bamayna Shabalak. He wanted Balak's money, Lekawas Yisroel, Venerak, the Midyan. Shalach Litzchai Rasser Rabban Elav. He went to take the scar of the 24,000 Shadaflim Yisroel Batasai that died through his counsel. Dayag Abir Harayim, the strongest of the shepherds. Gadlu Shibatamidim, he's right Sanhedrin. Dayag was unreal Tamachacham. He was the right Sanhedrin. Gadlu Shibatamidim Haya, he's the greatest of the learners. When it's Kanab David, but he was jealous of David, Sharon, and David, Dover. He said the David had an unbelievable understanding. The Ish Tayar, and a man, Tayar means with a physical presence, Umara Panim Bahalocha, and a Bilzi to Paskin correctly. To the Chsiv, he never easy Ben Leishai Beis Halachmi. And the Pasik says there that he's able to Paskin, that he's able to have a certain presence. Vamar Bagoda de Chedlik Rechol HaPasik Azed Daik. I'm Rebbe Lashon Hara. He was trying to incite Shaul to kill David. Achi Taivu, Nasan Eina B'Mlucha, Klemmer B'Chelik, Ro Eish Yotze Ma'amasai. He saw a fire come out of his male organ. Uksav Rishasin Limchag. He thought he was going to be king. Mash Yad Lad Neflimenu, Lo Yechzu Yumeyem. Both Dayik and Achi Taivu never hit the age of 35. They died, one of 33, I believe, and one of 34. Gaychazi, the Minas Shanaman, but Stari became a Mitzaira. Adiniyob Avishak Venerak. He wanted Avishak and he got killed. Uziyob Bekuna Vatsara Zarcha Mitzaira. Interesting, Rashi says nothing about Haman. What did Haman want that he didn't get? So, some say, I learned to mean he wanted to get rid of Mordechai. He wanted to get rid of his nemesis. He wanted to take away the ability for anybody to be his nemesis, especially Chazal say, Mordechai showed a star that he owns him. So he wanted to get rid of Mordechai. And he lost his life on this attempt. Okay, now, no question? Very good. What? Yeah, that's true. But I don't know. Again, I don't know. Again, Rashi, notice that Rashi said every other one till Haman. Because Purim is coming, so he wants you to say your own Tyra.
I will ask you about a Pharaoh.
Yeah. Who? Ephraim? Who?
Absalom.
Yeah, he reposed. Rashi doesn't explain him? No, he doesn't. But Absalom wanted to become king.
Yeah,
he wanted to knock off David. That doesn't belong to him.
By the way, he died. That's all.
No, it doesn't show. In each of these cases, the way he died didn't show anything, necessarily.
For all these people.
For a lot of these people. But the saying is, they didn't achieve their goal and ended up getting punished for trying. That's what it's saying. No, no, we did not mention Mita Kenegami there. This was all it said is, these people tried to take something that didn't belong to them and ended up paying for it. the woman wanted to live with her bayo, she might have, and she wanted to ultimately marry him, and she lost her husband. And baby died. And the Nachash wanted to marry Chava and ended up being the most hated animal there is. Every one of them wanted to take something and suffered consequences for trying. That's what Rashi is saying. I expected this question. In fact, I expected a rebuke. Now, you were going to ask me, but the Pasuk says that he was jealous because the carbon was not accepted. So Rashi is telling you that the underlying fact here was he was jealous at Hevel to begin with. You're right.
Absolutely.
So you read you were going to ask it?
Okay. No, I just said...
Maybe you covered it in your safer.
No, what's something about wrong if I... Meaning, if it's not... If it was so obvious... I mean, I'm sorry. Good point.
You're right, but the Pasuk did not mention that at all. And the other ones, they're all still committed, pretty much. Dayag is a pasuk, Achitayvu is a pasuk, Gechazi is a pasuk, Adiniyo is a pasuk. Kayin is not a pasuk.
Are they psukim? Because it doesn't give them a core for it, though.
Rashi does.
Okay.
Except for Haman. Rashi, he doesn't say anything about Avshalom either, you're right. But Avshalom is the parent of the psukim. But Haman... not sure what he wanted. I mean, Baruch Hashem is trying to, he wanted to destroy all Klal Yisrael. For some reason, I concentrated on Mordechai. I don't know. I have no, I, you know, you can say whatever type you want. It's fine with me. I just don't know.
Kain was a heck.
What do you mean? Yeah, it doesn't say in the Pasuk at all that there was a jealousy about the second twin.
I'm talking about sequence.
It says that Cain had one twin and Hevel had two twins. That's all it says.
No, in the Bible.
I'm talking about the Bible.
And I tried to also. But it says, you know, Cain didn't have a kim in his carbon. And then it talks about he didn't have the old story of the argument.
Right. But it doesn't say what caused the argument.
I'm just saying the sequence.
This, again, you could have learned the Chumash, in fact, before this Gemara came along, that the argument started because of the Kabbalah, he was jealous at him.
That's what I'm saying.
But that's not what Rashi said.
But Rashi is correcting the apprehension of that.
Rashi's saying that there was an underlying reason beforehand.
Yeah, no, I said, but in terms of, you're saying that it's not stated in the Bible, and I'm
saying...
Fair,
again, Rashi's not against the Torah. I got it. But he's adding something that you would not have picked up. That's all.
Agree. Okay. No, I completely agree.
Doesn't seem to favor the psukim about the twins, does it?
Yeah.
I'm saying it's the one because of the ribui.
Okay, that's nice. A ribui means something.
This Gemara is shot on Kohen Nusanino.
Yes, the Gemara is given the Chenatamaita, correct. Chenatino, correct. Each one of them, the Gemara ends up. Shenasnu eleihem, the Gemara says, "Mamash einish lehem, mamash biyadam leinit lemanu
man." We start with tzeitah.
Yeah, we start with tzeitah. The yerach is chila bavera, so the Mishnah said she started with the yerach. Therefore, tuka hayerach chila. Now the Gemara has a problem with that. Menahani mili. First, how we know that? Ilei b'shem d'chsim b'seis Hashem es yurechach nifelas v'zmit nitzavah. The Kayan curses her. Hashem will make your thigh fall and your stomach swell. But when it happens, it says, with some submitna first, v'nafli yurecha. So how could the Mishnah say she gets punished with her thigh first, when the punishment talks about, the Pasuk says, the stomach is first? And for the Gemara Amra Abaya, he liyet, liyet chila yerech. What it means to say is, the Kayan tells her in the curse, first about the thigh, the Hazar Batam Lion. Why? Because he wants to say, you were sinned with your thigh first, therefore the curse will go on the thigh. The curse is on the thigh first. However, Mayi Kibatki, when the water does its checking, Kirchayu Batki, it checks it as it goes down the person's esophagus. What?
Well,
he's cursing it in the order, it's happening out of order. Ubatan Batki Batam Bereshava the Erech. fresh the Gemara b'klal and namiksim latzmas batim benav yarev. When the client continues and he repeats the klala, he says stomach first. Manoshech, you're telling me in the klala he said yarech first. And for the Gemara, who the b'yde l'kai and the batim b'reishu of the yarech, shloy l'haiti la'azamayim amarem. The Kayan first cursed the Erech, but then he knows that's not what's going to happen. So he doesn't want people to think that that's what's going to happen. So when he repeats the curse, he's saying in the order it's going to happen. When he originally said the curse, he said it what she deserves to be cursed with. Rashi. Dr. Rashi, Kilayat, the Kloli, he tchilas aparanias. Interesting Rashi. The curse is the beginning of her punishment. So therefore the Erech gets cursed first, means the punishment starts with her thigh. Not the actual exploding, but the actual punishment starts with the Kayan's curse. Miyuki batku mayak yer chaya batki, mayim nichnas utchila, mekalkal esaysan, goes through the stomach and ruins him, v'akach bevel ziyarach. Shloi lo haitzi laaz, shiyoyim ru lo yasu kasei drala. Didn't work. Vein parani zu ayadan. It didn't happen through the water. Unbelievable. Here are the people watching a saita. They watch the water doing its thing, but it did it out of order. So right away they're going to say something's wrong. The kite said this order, it happened this way. It's not the way the kite said. It's like pari with kachzais and bachzais. You know what I mean? Zeroing in on the small, minute thing so he can slug up the whole thing. It's what's happening here too. So Hashem didn't want it to happen. So the kite repeats first the stomach and then the erech in actuality. But the curse which starts the pranius goes on the erech first. Zuck the Mishnah Vayter. Now, we're going to be going into the Gemara. I don't know how much we're going to cover this week and how much we're going to cover next week. In the story of Shimshon, which is one of the most difficult stories in Nach to understand. Nach is very difficult, period. Shimshon is difficult to be difficult. Anybody that really wants to know a good shot in Shimshon, there's books available. In Hebrew, there's the Michtam Melio Chela Gimel, who's a Marach on it. And in English, there's a book from Reb Gershon Weiss, Zechayna Levacha, as I've come up from Reb Shem, what? Samson Struggles. Unbelievable book, where he goes through Shimshon piece by piece by piece, a whole book. It's called Samson Struggles, as I've come up from Reb Shem, my Rashiva and others. Meaning he was an Adam God, believes he was Nifter recently, I mean the last 2 years. Reb Gershon Weiss, he was Mashgiach on Staten Island. Before that, he was Mashgiach in the Mechana in Baltimore. Talmud of their show, Talmud of Rebbevin, and he wrote a book called Samson Struggles. So we're going to do Shimshon, and if anybody understands Shimshon by the time I'm finished, it'll be a pella, because I won't be able to explain it well. But we have to keep this in mind. Shimshon was an unreal tzaddik. It says he had Ruach HaKadosh. Hashem gave him power, was unbelievable. But when you read the story, he sounds like he did things that were totally inappropriate. And the balance to understand that is extremely difficult. If somebody today would do what Shimshon did, we'd throw him out of the community. But he led Klal Yisrael for years, 20 years. And he was a Navi. And he had Ruach Hashem in him. So therefore, to understand Shimshon from this class will be impossible. I'll try my best to. But the bottom line is that no one should read the Pesukim and say, this is what it is, because the Pesukim send two different messages. There's two different messages here. So again, anybody willing to understand it? There are Svarim written about it. It's a long Arichas. But we're going to be spending an Amud Gemara talking about Shimshon, so it's going to be very hard to avoid the issue. So it's going to be an issue, and the issue is going to be there in front of everybody to see. But at the same time, there are Svarim that deal with it and explain it very well. I will not be able to do that kind of a job here, but I'm just giving you the Mar Mekaitis.
Why is Mishnah talking about Shimshon? What's the Seita? What does that do?
Where do we get the Shimshon?
We'll see. Because the last Mishnah talked about Mida Kenega Mida. So we're going to talk about people that got punished Mida Kenega Mida.
The Gemara said this, though. Now we're having a Mishnah that
says the Mishnah said it.
No, the Gemara we just had listed a bunch of people that were.
They were not Mida Kenega Mida.
Oh. Maybe I'm just suggesting,
and Frontiers has the book, won't you? No, but the book is 250 pages. I'm not reading 250 pages here. It's a big book. It's a big book.
After what I'm saying is maybe, I mean, I'm not saying you need it, but
maybe clarify certain things that...
Yes. The problem of doing what you want me to do is either do the whole thing or you're going to be left with kashas. I said I will try, but at the same time, I want you to know I will not do a comprehensive job. If we sat here, maybe instead of Peleiots, we should read Sands of Struggles.
No. Maybe that's not for...
It ends up being a Mussar Sefer by the time you finish.
Wow. Rebbe said that Ramosha gave Haskama to it?
Yeah, I read it. I didn't read that Haskama, but I saw his name on it.
Ramosha didn't read English.
Okay, let me explain. Rav Gershon Weiss was the Mashgiach of Staten Island, where Ramosha's yeshiva. Ramosha writes Haskama on his Sefer, and so does my Rashid. And who told you Ramosha didn't read English? He just made that up. I'm suggesting that he probably read English very well. He lived in America from 1930 to 1987 or 86. So that's 56 years. I would assume that he knows how to read English. Anyway, that's not the point here. The book is there called Samson Struggles. By the way, I'll be very honest. I knew it existed. I didn't know its name. I never saw it. I was in somebody's house 2 nights ago, and they were davening Myra, but I was not davening Myra with them. And they had a bookshelf of English Swarm. And I noticed Samson Struggles by Weiss. So I pulled it out. And I read it for 10 minutes. And I saw Haskama Ramesh and Roshiva. So I know that he has Haskama Ramesh and Roshiva. And I know the name of the book now, Samson Struggles. And I know how he starts approaching it, asks all the obvious questions. I was able to read the first 15, 20 pages while they were davening Meyer. You know, Shemayn Esther took long, so I was able to read a few pages and that thing. But it's a thick book. You have it? It's a thick book. I mean, thick. Not thing, but I think it's a few hundred pages. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's 175 pages. It's a book. It's not a pamphlet. And he goes through it very well. And again, I'm suggesting that if anybody really wants to understand it, now I did not read the Michtam Liyoh in the Gimel, but there is a piece of Michtam Liyoh where he goes through it also in Hebrew. Samson struggles in English, and he elaborates, I think, more. I think it's a bigger piece. So again, anybody wants to see it, can see it in Mirchim tomorrow. We will start Shimshon.